Friends, it should be David Price standing here before you this morning. But as you have heard, he has COVID, and hence it's fallen to me to share his message with you today. He has provided you with an outline of this message, and hopefully you received one on the way in. But if you didn't, then I encourage you to make sure that you get it on the way out, and then you'll be able to check up as to whether I have read it correctly. The ho-hum of familiarity, or a deeper understanding and experience. The greatest act of God in our human history. What new things are you discovering and experiencing in this series on the Promised One? Today, we face the reality that two truths can be in conflict. And yet if they are true, then we need to affirm and accept them both. Truth number one, our world is filled with genuine pain and trouble. As the Old Testament prophets warned over the years, our rebellion against God has twisted us and our world. Amid the pain, violence and brokenness all around us, as we cannot deny this is true. Watch your TV news. The sadness is overwhelming. Truth number two, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, not just in some mental health way, but in a real whole of life experience of well-being. He is the only answer to the defeat, despair, division and destruction. Sent by the Father, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, breaking into our world as one of us and started a new community. Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Christmas points us to the birth of the Prince of Peace and the hope that one day Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will return to bring in the fullness of a new age of ultimate justice and peace for all who love him. But most importantly, this morning has real personal relevance for every one of us. Do you need to hear from the Prince of Peace? My peace I give to you. Do not be afraid. This morning, take a close look with me at Dr. Luke's careful research into the joyful birth of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. It was an actual day. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. The angel said in verse 11, today. It happened on an actual day in history. Not a day in some mythological imaginary story, but a day according to Luke's careful notes when Caesar Augustus was actually the emperor of Rome and Quirinius was governor of Syria. And Paul put it this way, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, Galatians 4 verse 4. It happened on a precise and actual day in God's perfect timing. It was an actual place. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. It happened in an actual place, a town called Bethlehem. Not in Jerusalem, not in Middle Earth, not in some far-off galaxy. It happened in the town of Bethlehem that still exists today. Tony believes that because he told us last week that he's actually been there. Joseph went up from Nazareth in Galilee, verse 4, for the census at Bethlehem. Now that's a 112-kilometre trip. It was not done in a one-hour trip in a V8 Holden, but a five-day donkey trip. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, had written 700 years earlier, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. It happened in an actual place, Bethlehem. And Luke wants you to know that our faith in Christ is grounded in history, what God has said and done. It was an actual birth. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Only men actually had to go for the census. So did Joseph take Mary to avoid the shame of her pregnancy? Or was it because of Micah's prophecy of where the Messiah was to be born? You'd think if the living God rules the world so that he caused a Roman Empire or Roman Emperor to cause a census and bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, he could have provided a no vacancy sign at the local hotel. Well, he absolutely could have. But God's will was for Jesus to be born in the stable. Probably a cave and laid in an animal's food trough. No great ceremony, no pretty lights and soft carols, but prickly straw and animal droppings. A very humble, smelly place where only the poor might be found. We should take a look at our own homes and think about this. It was there the time came for the baby, the Prince of Peace, to be born. It was an actual birth, a real baby. It's no wonder that thoughtful people find the story of the Jesus Christ hard to believe. While some struggle with how the birth of Jesus could be a virgin birth, or how the death of Jesus on the cross could take away the world's sin, or how Jesus after 3 days rose physically from the dead, or how all the miracles happened. The greatest difficulty is not these events. It's right here in this stable in Bethlehem, because the really staggering claim is that Jesus of Nazareth was the eternal, mighty God born in human flesh. Here are two mysteries for the price of one. First, three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, within the unity of God's being. And second, the union of the triune God with the humanity in the person of Jesus. The Word was made flesh, John 1:14. And Jesus took on humanity without loss of deity, fully divine, fully human. And the more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. It was an actual birth. It was an actual plan. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel tells the shepherds what God is doing through the birth of Jesus. Why shepherds of all people? Shepherds were on the same social level as garbage collectors among Jews. God's announcement of this joyful birth is an overwhelming experience for these few poor, uneducated shepherds, but possibly believers looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. It was not to the religious or wealthy in Jerusalem, but in the fields outside Bethlehem. The choice of shepherds indicates this birth was for absolutely all people. This birth of the Prince of Peace was for the whole world and not for some special favourites. Who actually is this Jesus? Notice the three titles here. Jesus is the Saviour. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Saviour. If you have ever sinned against God, you need a Saviour. And as Isaiah prophesied, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And Jesus is the Messiah. For to you is born a Saviour who is Christ. Christ means anointed one or Messiah. John 1 verse 41 and John 4 25. This is the one long promised, long awaited one. The Prince of Peace has landed. But as C.S. Lewis said, he has landed in disguise. A baby boy in a stable in Bethlehem. But in him all the promises of God are yes. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. And also because Jesus is the Lord, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Amazing, because Luke already, in little more than one chapter, has used this title, Lord, nearly 20 times as the title for God. 700 years earlier, Isaiah prophesied, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. God actually sent his son to provide a Saviour for you and for me. That's Christmas. It was an actual celebration of God's amazing gift of peace. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel announced this news to the shepherds and pointed them to the animal shed where the baby lay, suddenly the sky bursts open and an army of angels appear. One angel brought the news, but the meaning of this joyful news demands a greater company of angels celebrating the glory of God and the gift of his peace. But there's a solemn warning embedded here. Even although God's offer of peace goes out to all, only his chosen people, the people with whom he's pleased, who receive the Prince of Peace and personally trust him as Saviour, Messiah and Lord, will experience the peace that he brings. And Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 13, "And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." In believing? The way we experience God's promise of peace in us is through us in believing, which means commitment. Not just knowing information, but choosing Christ and his peace in turning to him as our Saviour and Lord. That gift of peace means peace with God. The most basic need that we have is peace with God. The key passage is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," there's the pivotal act of believing, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified means that God declares you to be just or right in his sight, imputing, that is, giving to you the righteousness of Jesus. And he does that by faith alone. Not by being good or doing good things, not by going to church or baptism or church membership or our parents' faith, but by faith alone, Jesus' righteousness is counted by God as ours. We have peace like a river that floods our lives, that impacts those around us. We don't need to be afraid anymore of anything. Peace with ourselves. When we experience peace with God, we begin growing in the enjoyment of peace within ourselves. No longer deep feelings of guilt or anxiety that bring depression and hopelessness. Jesus' kind of peace meets us in our weakest places and suffocating self-absorption. Now we are a new person in Christ. Peace in our circumstances. Paul wrote to the Philippian believers, "Do not be anxious about anything." The opposite of anxiety is peace. "But in everything pray and let your request be made known to God." In other words, roll your anxieties onto God. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Our hearts and minds are constantly under attack. Guilt, worries, threats, confusions, uncertainties, they all threaten our peace. But God wants to guard our hearts and minds with his peace. He guards them in a way that goes far beyond our human understanding. And he does it when we simply take our anxieties to him in prayer and trust him that he will carry them for us and protect us. Peter's advice is, "Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you." 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Like the schoolboy coming home Friday afternoon, walking in the door, flinging his bag and books across the room, finished with them and the week. This Christmas, why not take your anxieties to God? Tell him about them. Ask him to help you, to protect you and give you peace. And then leave them where you've put them. Peace with others. Peace with God can transform our relationships. Husband and wife, parents and children, friends, leaders, colleagues, loving our neighbours as yourself, and even our enemies, those who have hurt us deeply. Peace with others is one we have least control over, as Paul says, if possible, if possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, Romans 12 and verse 18. Take the initiative as a peacemaker. Have what may be the difficult conversations with humility, respect, and grace, so far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. That's the Prince of Peace at work in you. And when you get with your family at Christmas, there may be some awkward and painful relationships. Some tensions, maybe very old. Maybe some brand new ones this week. In some relationships, you know what you need to do, no matter how hard it is. And in some of them, you're baffled, and you don't know what the path of peace requires. But in both situations, the key is trusting the Prince of Peace with a deep awareness of how much he has suffered to make peace with God a reality for you. The Prince of Peace, in Paul's words, challenges. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. This sense of amazement that I, a sinner, have peace with God, David says, makes my heart tender. Being kind and forgiving toward others, no matter what they have done. Remember Peter's question to Jesus. How often must I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus answered, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. It may be thrown back in your face, but keep remembering what you've been and daily are being forgiven. It was an actual celebration of joy, bringing glory to God and God sending his peace upon those who received his Son. It was an actual response. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Christmas, the joyful birth of the Prince of Peace. On an actual day, in an actual town, an actual birth, to fulfill an actual plan. Glory ascending, peace descending. The Saviour to take all our guilt and give us peace. The Christ to fulfill all our hopes. The Lord to defeat all our enemies and give us strength for each day, producing an actual celebration of the amazing gift of peace. Glory ascending, peace descending. To which there was an actual response, urgently to discover Christ, eager to share the joyful birth and share his this good news. And Mary, profoundly impacted, treasured and pondered these things in her heart. Truth one, our world is filled to overflowing with genuine pain and trouble. Truth two, the Prince of Peace has come and promises, my peace I give to you. Find yourself in this response and in all your relationships. Reach out to joyfully receive peace with God, peace in your own soul, peace in your circumstances, and peace with others so far as it depends upon you. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for sending us your Son, the Prince of Peace. If we've never accepted him and allowed you to fulfill all your promises in us, may it be today that we actually receive him and enjoy all the benefits that you intended for us to have through your dramatic entrance into our world. May this Christmas be the one that the Prince of Peace reigns in all our hearts. Amen.